Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Hashtag Clocked In with me, your host, Jordan Edwards. I'm thrilled to have you tune in as we dive into the dynamic world of productivity, success, and stories of incredible individuals who've mastered the art of getting things done. Whether you're commuting, hitting the gym, or just relaxing at home, this podcast is the go-to source for inspiration and actionable tips to level up your productivity game. I'm on a mission to unravel the secrets of those who seem to effortlessly manage their time and achieve their goals. So if you're ready to clock in and unlock your full potential, you're in the right place. We've got a lineup of amazing guests, industry experts, and thought leaders who will share their insights and strategies to help us crush your to-do list and make the most out of every moment. Get ready to get inspired, motivated, and equipped with the tools you need to supercharge your productivity. This is Hashtag Clocked In with Jordan Edwards. Let's dive in. Hey, what's going on, guys? I got a special guest here today. We have Mark Evans, DM, the deal maker. He's a 10x best-selling author, owner of multiple multi-million dollar businesses, and real estate mogul and angel investor to countless partners. Mark, how are you doing today?
Great, Jordan. Thank you for having me, my man.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on the Hashtag Clocked In podcast. And Mark, when I heard about this, I almost didn't believe it. You traveled around for 7 years with your wife. How did that, tell us a little bit more. How did that even happen?
Yeah, man, it's a good question. You know, October 8, 2005 was a pivotal moment in my life. My grandmother died. And I love working. You know, I'm clocked in 24/7. That's my life.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So she passed away. I worked 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. My goal, I grew up poor. I always knew I was going to be wealthy. I just didn't know how or when. I was just willing to do the work to get there. So I missed a lot of family events, a lot of family things. My grandmother was an amazing mentor, great person. And she went for just a basic checkup, man. And they're like, hey, you got 2 weeks max. Here's why, blah, blah, blah. So she ends up passing away. I'm in my office, bawling my eyes out. My girlfriend, now my wife, Dina, she's like, let's go somewhere for a month. And that was in mid-October. So December 31st, 05, we went to South Beach, Florida, on the 16th floor on the ocean. Keep in mind, I'm a hillbilly kid, small town, Ohio. So this is like, actually the first time I was ever on a plane. So I'm like, this is insane. 27 years old. I've already have a pretty, you know, I have a real estate back then. I called it a business, but it was really just a high paying job for a psycho, i.e. me. And, you know, this flip phone days, man, we didn't have all the amazing technology we have now. But I was sitting on the beach and I'm like, you know, it forced me to become a better business owner, a better leader, a better, just a better person in general. Lots of anxiety, though. But a month turned into 6 months, turned into a year. We just kept going. It was just so awesome because I started realizing, you know, when you're in your little bubble, you don't like really try to push the limits. And, you know, constraint, the power of constraint is very powerful. My wife's like, oh, you know, we're in Paris. We're going to go do X, Y, and Z. So I have an hour to work. So I didn't have time to dick around. I just got the work, executed what I needed to do. And you start learning to prioritize things. Certain things are way more important than others. And a lot of the stuff that doesn't really matter where most people spend most of the time, it just goes away. You know what I mean? Or you figure out a way to get it done by someone else. So this is during 4-hour work week days and all that, you know, Tim Ferriss and different things. Like I got to hang out some parties with him. My buddy Chris was good friends with him. And, you know, like him and I are kind of traveling at the same exact time. He's just way smarter and way better writer than I am. But it's pretty neat to see, man. It was an awesome experience. And you know, we still travel still today, but not like that. I mean, that was a whole nother level.
Yeah. And it's so incredible. And the reason I bring that up is not to like be like, oh, look at Mark, he's traveling. No, not at all. It's all the lessons you learn from it. Because I was telling you earlier how I was traveling back in 2020. And the amazing thing about the constraint you're talking about is you're not stuck in your environment because you're changing environments every month, 6 months, every year. So now you have friends in Paris. You have friends in Miami. You have friends in all these different locations, which opens up and broadens your horizons so much more.
Well, that, and then not only that, you know, depending if you're what business you're in, I'm in real estate, right? So I do a lot of real estate, a lot of businesses. Like you're in a huge plane with 300 other people and you're trying to figure out why you can't close another deal. And then when you get up in the air and you fly for 8 hours and you pass millions of houses and you're wondering, like, you don't think one would sell to you? You know? Or like, it just expanded my mind to another level, you know? So That's kind of the journey to me was the expansion. Again, you got to remember, I grew up in a town of 660 people, very small. I never traveled at all. So like for me to just get out of my ecosystem to see what was possible, you realize the world's way bigger than your small town or hometown, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And coming back to your small town, what gave you the confidence at 18? Because I was reading this that after 18, 2 days after high school, you bought a business, a gutter business. And I just want to preface this because when I read about buying a business, because that's like the new thing nowadays, everyone's like, buy a business. There's so many boomers, et cetera, they're like, oh, it's going to take you 6 to 9 months, ball to the wall all day long. And then I'm like, did he read it? Did he actually do this in 2 days?
Yeah. Well, no, dude, like, I graduated high school and then 2 days later, I bought a company. You know, the motivation's real. Motivation in real estate, motivation in companies, motivation in life. Look, paint the picture though. Like everyone uses like the business or real estate as like the thing. But have you ever went to a yard sale and someone bought a bike for $100 and they're selling it at yard sale for like $5?
Yeah.
It's the same shit. They're just motivated to get it out. At first it was cool. Now it's not. A lot of people own a business or started a business. It was cool for a minute and now it's not. So the motivation's there to be done with it. You buy a house, say if your father passes away, you're living in California, the house is in Florida. You're like, dude, I don't ever go to Florida. I don't want to go to Florida. That might, you know, something I just don't want to deal with it. So their motivation, they don't want to clean it up. They don't want to repaint it. They don't want to put new roof. Like they don't want to put the money, or maybe they don't have the money to do that. So, you know, motivation's a real thing. The gutter company that was in my small town, the guy got in a bad car wreck. He couldn't walk barely, right? So in gutters, you got to climb ladders and you're 2-3 stories up. So it was just kind of like, I didn't know this. It's not like I thought this stuff up, but my first day, I walked up to him, his name, I was like, hey, Larry, his name was Larry. I was like, Larry, you know, my uncle wants to buy this company, thinking he would never sell to a kid, right? I'm clearly a kid. And then that happened. He's like 50 grand. And I'm like, okay, I'll let him know. So I literally went home and I was like, I'm still at my parents' house. So then I go back the next day. I'm like, hey, my uncle's not interested, but I am. He's like, well, do you have 50 grand? I was like, I don't think it's worth 50. He's like, what do you think it's worth? And I said, 25. And he's like, okay, deal. And I was like, he's like, do you have 25 grand? I'm like, no, but will you owner finance me? And the owner, like, dude, I had no clue what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
It just worked out because I showed up. He knew me, knew of me. And I knew his situation. Like the truck sit there for 7 months. It didn't move. So it's like if he got $100 off of me, it's more than what it was doing out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess it was just a timing and a thing. But dude, like I always knew I was never going to work for anybody. I've always known that all my life. Like I don't like to take orders from people, you know, even though we all take orders somewhere along the lines, but my kids in general right now, 8 and 4, but, yeah, dude, like it was an amazing experience. And I bought many companies from 96 on.
Yeah, because I mean, that's the thing. It's literally the first one that gives you the confidence that you're like, oh, that wasn't that bad. We actually made money doing this. And then you acquire other businesses along the way. But it's really getting over that hump. And I know you coach thousands of different people. What do you think holds them back from taking that jump or making the deal or doing the thing? Because a lot of your stuff is like, dude, all these people are sitting there doing analysis paralysis. Like, let's take action. How do we?
Yeah. Well, I just want to be clear. Like, I've had many L's in buying companies and creating companies and all that, right? Most people might be thinking it's a loss. It is a lesson. I just shut down a company last week. Cost me over $1 million, right? I bought it 5.5 months ago. I just don't see the upside. It wasn't what I thought it was. I shut it down. The old me would be trying to save it, pour more money into it, get really hunkered down, lose a lot of time and energy to make a little bit of money. I'm not doing this for the money now. I'm really doing it for legacy growth and building. Obviously, money has to be there or it doesn't work. But like, I'm not going to hunker down for 100 grand a year. You know what I mean? Like, it's not big enough for our attention. But, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't make moves because they're scared, right? And I'm not sure if they're scared of failure, scared of winning, scared of their friends, you know, saying, oh, why'd you leave? Or, you know, one thing that blows my mind, keep in mind, I've never had a W-2 job my entire life, my adult life, is everyone's worried about their benefits. It's like, dude, like, unless you're sickly, these benefits are like, it's the weirdest thing. They've allowed people to put this thought in their head. Like, dude, if you don't get benefits, like that's a bad decision. It's like, well, how often are you sick? Right. You have insurance, maybe high deductible, and maybe, just maybe, go make more fucking money so you don't even have to worry about it. You know, I have insurance. I have high deductible plans. Why? I use them as catastrophic situations. I have money to pay for $300 for teeth whitening or teeth cleaning, or, you know, like, I'm not trying to figure out how to get the best dental. I'm trying to figure out how to go make more money. Most people are so focused on, you know, I got to build a budget. I'm like, dude, I'm going to go build a business. These are two drastically different business, like, action steps. One's like, and it, by the way, it's the same energy.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the budget, you can only go to zero.
Yeah.
The business, you can go to unlimited. It's unlimited. You know what I mean?
I completely agree with that. I mean, there was literally last night for my condo, they're having the new budget meeting and they're like, the HOA is going up 18% and everyone's there complaining. And like, even last year, I was like, this is crazy. Like, how is this happening? This year, I was like, dude, you just got to make more money. Like, it is what it is. Like, go out there and do what you have to do, because you get nothing from complaining. Like, yeah, it literally sets you backwards. And there's a lot of stuff proven about that. So
I call it king of the dipshit mentality, right? So a lot of these people are hanging out, sitting at the bar, have no money. They should be at work, not at the bar. But this is what they do on the weekends because they're escaping. Guys like us, we don't escape. We're living life every day. But king of the dipshits, there's five guys sitting around. They're like, dude, you know, like, man, you know, I just got a 50-cent raise. Like, oh, man, I wish I could be you. It's like, guys, we only make $22 an hour. Like, we're all broke anyways. It doesn't matter. You know, or like, I got an extra week vacation. It's like, dude, why you have no money on vacation? What are you doing? You're on they turn staycations to make it sound like you're doing something big in life. Yeah. Though it's called, like, you're fucking broke and you can't go spend money and do cool experiences with your family, you know, because you take care of the home base. So like, stuff like that, man, drives me nuts. So, but then what happens is, then if I say something negative and we're in the dipshit environment, guess what? They try to one up your negativity. Dude, yes, you think that's bad? Wait until you hear what happened to me. Oh, yeah, you think that's bad? It's even worse over here. You know, like, so like, it's like, and it's just the world they live in, unfortunately, man. It will never change until they make a change.
Yeah, 100%. So for you, Mark, how do you, coming from a small town, 650 people, how did you even have this ability to get outside the environment? Because for a lot of people, this would be, Mark, you're leaving the town. Where are you going? What's going on? Like, it's such a small town. Like, most people don't move more than 20 miles away from their house. Like, how did you have the ability to go, wait, I have much bigger goals for my life. I have much bigger things I want to accomplish. Where did that come from?
Well, I mean, again, I was more afraid of what I knew than what I didn't know. I mean, if people would just really get down to reality and look around and say, look what's right in front of you. If you want that, stay there. If you don't, do something about it. That's the simple answer, dude. Like, there's no philosophy here for me. I'm not a philosopher by any means. But like, at the end of the day, you got to realize, like, dude, I was a shark in a minnow bowl. Like, I needed to get out. I couldn't wait to move. You know, like back in the day, we didn't have social media, right? It was 90s. But we had lifestyles of the rich and famous, right? Yeah. If a guy was rich, why can't I be rich?
Yeah.
And most people are asking, why can't I? I'm like, why can't, like, oh, that's not for me. Like, everyone in my world, like, dude, that's not for people like us. All, you got to go to college, all, blah, blah, blah. I didn't go to college. I could barely graduate high school. I just wanted to get out and make money, you know? And then it evolves as you get in the game and just start working. But truth is, most people listen and probably shouldn't even be an entrepreneur. It is not easy, dude. It's a cool term now, but it is not easy.
Yeah, no, and it's definitely a challenge. Like, I remember I literally followed you. You sent me a DM and it's like 5:30 on a Saturday morning. I DM you back. You respond back in like 30 seconds. I'm like, who is this guy? And it wasn't like a robot or anything. It was like, Mark was there. He's like, here's my email. Like, set up the podcast. Like, you are on it. And like, how do you stay on it with all the success that you've acquired?
Well, again, you know, a lot of people, the busiest and most successful people I know are on it. They're doing work. They, like, I can get a response from a multi-billionaire way faster than I can some broke joker. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, you have nothing fucking going on and you can't respond to an email in 3 days. But yet a billionaire will text me back in 12 seconds.
Yeah.
So it, at the end of the day, like, dude, but what got me to where I'm at is what's going to keep me here and beyond, you know? Yeah. So, you know, it's like, if you're going to the gym and you stay physical when you're working out, you don't stop doing what got you successful in the gym. It's not like, hey, cancel my membership, I'm out, I'm good. No, dude, like, you actually every day you do it yields more. By the way, you know, today I was up at 3:30. Like, I just love being up. I love to be alive. I got young kids. So from 3:30 to 7 in the morning, dude, I get a lot of work done, you know, for me. And then that's why when you see me online sometimes at like 9 in the morning, I have a cigar. It's like, you know, I've already been up 6-7 hours. Like, it's not like I wake up with a cigar. I've already done more than most people did in a week in 6 hours, right? Just because I understand efficiency. Is I have a great, I have amazing people in my life now, like team members I've built that work with me every day. It's like, dude, like my job is to be the director, to be the leader, to be the one to many guy. You know, I'm talking to a lot of people in an email, but like, man, I think one of the most missed opportunities is when a guy like you messages me and like, oh, I'm going to hand this off to someone that has no clue what they're doing. Like, to me, that's like, I work really hard to get eyeballs and conversations going, but I'm too busy to have a conversation. Kind of seems stupid when you say it like that. So unfortunately, a lot of people do it though, Jordan. It's weird to me.
I know there are many people that I've had on the podcast who I got to go through their assistant. I've never got their email, never did anything. And then you talk about something after the podcast and it just gets pushed and pushed and put, and you're like, okay, like I don't know how they're doing it, like they seem to be successful. Yeah,
well, that's the big secret. They seem a lot of people seem to be successful, but you know, listen, at the end of the day, you know, I'm not here to judge them. I just know most people are full of shit online, you know what I mean? So Best way to tell is like, send them an email, send them a message, see how they respond, you know, pay attention to their behaviors. I know you're big into your pillars and all that, right? So you know, like get in alignment with people that you're aligned with, or at least you think you are. Cause right. Honestly, like virtually, you really don't know until you get to know the individual. Yeah. Right. So, but it's got to start some way. I mean, dude, like you send a message, we send them at like, this is how it starts. It's always how it starts.
It's funny enough. I actually had a person I know, he reached out to me. He's been going very viral on like these Uber videos. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And he's like, yeah, like, how do you think about the podcast? Like, and I'm like, well, like, I reach out to people. I talk to them. I do it briefly. Like, I just say, what's up? Like, here's a little bit about me. Let's do it. And he's like, oh, like, I sent 60 of them. Like, no one responded yet. And I go, dude, I've done 150 episodes. What do you mean you sent 60 DMs? Like, it was just a completely different wavelength. And he was like, whoa, like, I didn't realize the volume of work as some people talk about it, because you don't see it. You just see them in that moment and you're like, oh, they showed up. That no, they've been showing up for the past, like you said, 27 years. I'm 27 years old. So you've been working, like, obviously you're going to have more, like, it's just what it is. But yeah. I know that these different platforms, and like, that's why I created the podcast, because it gave me a win-win scenario for someone like yourself who wants to talk one to many, for myself to meet someone like you, where we both get to learn from each other, and it's a win-win situation.
Well, dude, listen, you're leading with value. That's how conversations start with people that are, you know, in the game longer or doing more or something. Like, you know, where I'm not better than you, you're not better. It's not that, but like, I am pretty busy. And if I come here, I want to make sure it's worth my time. Right. So you've built your table, your audience. So first question I asked, like, how big is your audience? Like, how big is your group? Or I can't remember exactly what it was. Yeah. You're like, hey, I'm 100 episode, what, 160 or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, that shows that you're dedicated. You're putting the work in. Because I always love the guys like, dude, I'm on show number 3. It's like, hit me up when you're on show number 100. And you know how many people set me up after show 100? 0. Why? Because they quit at show 5. Because they get, you know, they got shiny object syndrome. They get excited. Then they drop the ball and then they stop, man. So, you know, I commend you on taking action, man. And this is how it works, dude. At 27 with that, dude, you're 10 times ahead, 10x ahead of me. It's amazing. I love it.
Well, I get a lot of questions. I really appreciate that, first of all. And then I get a lot of questions because some people are like, oh, like, how much money does the podcast make? What are you doing with it all? And people don't realize that it's the relationships you're getting. And then it's also building the social networks, building these different areas all at the same time, where it's a culmination thing where you're like, oh, wow, 3 good things happened today, 2 bad things, like more good than bad. Let's keep it going.
Yeah. What's funny, the people asking you how much money you're making from the podcast show are also the guys and gals posting online that money's not everything, right? And the truth is, what you're really doing is, it's called relationship capital. You're forging relationship capital by leading with value. Most people won't do it because it requires work. It requires delayed gratification. And guess what? You're going to talk to 500 people on this podcast show, or 1,000 or 10,000, not all are going to be people you want to roll with anyways, right? So this is a great qualifier for you. And not only that, you're honing your speaking skills. You're honing your front end skill. You're learning how to like do basic research and understand, like ask better questions. Like you're just getting, you're becoming a better business person, human being by actually doing the work. It's weird how that works.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate that portion with the research and the questions. Cause honestly, I joined a mastermind group and they had their first meeting on Monday or Tuesday or whatever it was. And the guy was talking about, he's like, when you ask questions, don't ask where they got started. And I was like, wait, I do that in every single one. And he's like, well, everyone does that in every single one. And that's why I led with something that I had more interest on, because it opens up and it broadens the area where you don't really know where this is going, but we're going to have a great conversation.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's lots of different models. I think the key is you, what you're talking about is really just finding your voice, right? Because yes. The last thing you need to do is fake it till you make it. You've already made it. It's just now, how do I make it better? Right. You've done 160 shows. Now it's like, dude, my next 160 are going to be way better. And then you're going to look back after you do show 1,000. You're like, dude, I can't believe people even listen to this stuff. Right. So, but that's how it should be. You know, lazy people want everything given to them. They do less, expect more. Guys like you and I, we do more and we don't expect anything. We feel like we've done nothing. We feel like we're inadequate. We haven't done enough. Imposter syndrome. It's like, dude, there's so much more. How do I, like, one day I'm going to get my break. You know, I'm still saying the same thing. So that's, I'd rather have that personality than the opposite, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And honestly, guys, if you are not watching Mark Evans or following him on his social media, because he drops tidbits like this all the time, like where he'll make comments and it's a light bulb moment for me. Like you've done three of them during this podcast already where I'm like, wait, that makes so much more sense.
Right.
Like a lot of us are missing it. So for you, let's get back to the travel component real quick. So when you were traveling for the 7 years, how did you think about that? / it was 2005, you mentioned. So that's like way before this digital nomad thing kind of got big.
Yeah.
Were people?
Well, I didn't think. Like I said, it's 1 month turned into 7 years. So the way we traveled, I'm very spontaneous. Like literally I'd wake up on a Saturday, leaving South Beach and be somewhere Sunday morning. And I had no clue where we were going. We just, you know, we live in America, dude, you can get on a plane and like, I can book a ticket right now and be gone in 30 minutes, right? Or an hour or whatever. So it forces you to get uncomfortable. Like it forces you to get out of your bubble. And, you know, for me, you know, it's funny to me, so many people are so busy preparing that they actually never get to live the life they prepared for. Right. Yeah. So for me, it's like, dude, I'm going to just go live. And if it happens, it happens, right? Yeah. My agenda was to go explore, be, you know, not be free. Cause I still had a company. I have an office. I have a lot of moving parts. I do a lot of real estate. Like there's a lot of moving things, but what I had to do is I wanted to become someone better. I was a boss. When I started traveling, I had to become a leader. And when I became a leader, I lost half of my team, right? Cause a lot of people were weak. A lot of people, I didn't do a good job teaching them. I was the boss, telling them what to do, not giving them the steps, not giving them the vision to go do it themselves. Right. Yeah. So it's just a different dynamic. And I had to learn through the process and I had to, you know, it sucks, but it was very well worth it. And if I didn't travel 100%, I would not be sitting here. You know, travel was the biggest expanding. It just expanded my mind, right? How much money, how much opportunities abound, like it's everywhere. And getting to meet great people, you know, being in weird situations. Dude, like, I remember we were in Paris and keep in mind, we didn't have Airbnb. We didn't have, you know, we didn't have, you went to Craigslist. I'm on Craigslist in a foreign country and I'm booking Airbnb. And I had this guy's like, come with 3,500 euros and meet me at blah, 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 La Rue and all this. I'm like, okay. I could have been killed 30 times. Like, I have no clue what I'm doing. But I, you know, and he gives me the keys. I don't even know if these are the keys to the play. Like, it was just so wild, you know, but it worked out, you know, I'm still here.
Yeah. And that's the best part is that you have the stories. Like traveling for me has been one of the biggest perspective openers because it's incredible. Like after I graduated college, I went to Thailand with a buddy and we went to Cambodia and you go there.
Cambodia was amazing. We love Cambodia. I love Cambodia.
Yeah. And you go there and you're like, these people live off $1 a day. And you're like, how is that possible? I tipped a man $1. He started coming back to me and he goes, Mr. Edwards, what do you need? Mr. Edwards, what do you need? And I was like, dude, what if in America they'd be like slapping you? Here they're grateful. And it was just, dude, these different experiences and these things you see. And the best part is you can never unsee them. Like, it's experiences that you've had and you understand. You start to get to know the world as it is in the global nature, because instead of, now you're in Paris, instead of sitting on your TV after work to decompress, maybe you're walking and you're going to see whatever it is, like the Eiffel Tower.
Well, you know, what's funny about this is, again, I grew up in a funny life. My parents are great people, but like, you know, my uncles or whatever, they'd see someone driving in Corvette. I'm like, who'd they screw to get that car? I'm like, you don't even know. Like, what are you talking? First of all, it's a Corvette. It's like 20 grand, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Back then. Now, like, they didn't screw anybody, just because this is what they do. They diminish the individual thinking that's how, because they can't get it, right? That says, what I've realized in life, if people say stuff like that, that's more about them than the individual, of right? Course. So, for example, when I was traveling, there's two funny stories. So I told my mom, I'm like, Mom, I'm flying first class now. She's like, oh my God. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm like proud of it, right? It's a big deal. Yeah. It's a big move for me at that moment. She's like, they die in the airplane. And I'm like, okay, like when? She's like, when it crashes. She's like, they die first. I was like, don't we all die if we crash? I want to go. But this is how they justify it, right? This
yeah.
is a justification process. And then I told him, I'm like, hey, yeah, you know, we're going to Paris. All the French hate Americans. Be careful. Watch out. Dude, I'm like, well, I've been to New York. Americans hate Americans sometimes too. But when I was in France, like, it was amazing. I might have met one snob. I don't know. Maybe I was the dick. Who knows? But like, at the end of the day, it's like, this is what people do. And I've always realized, like, when people say negativity, I'm yeah. asking myself, where's this come from? Especially, by the way, if they've never been there, how would they know? Because they watch news? Like, you know, how would they know?
I love that default, though. But when you're greeted with negativity, where is this coming from? Because there's so many of us. And I do coaching with individuals, usually 20-somethings, and they'll go through the process. And sometimes they'll come to me and they go, Jordan, my friends are too negative. Like, I can't keep them positive. And it's like, okay, then you don't need to be around them as much. Limit your time around them. And it's those questions. Where does this come from? Where does this happen? Because eventually there's a turn where people are like, okay, wait. Because Mark, you're going to go from, they're going to go from judging you to going, oh, Mark got lucky.
Like, yeah.
You probably got that a bunch. Don't say you got lucky.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did a post today about it, right? I got up, I was up at 3:32. I'm working on some projects, and that my post was kind of like tongue in cheek because I have an Aura ring, right, that I wear at night. And like,
yeah.
I showed the stat, like, hey, I'm up. I went to bed at 9:30 or whatever. I got up 3:30. Like, this is my schedule. This is my day. And I'm like, yep, some people will call me lucky when I win again, you know, because this is just what, dude, they don't see what it takes. And again, you know, I am lucky. The harder I work, the luckier I get. It's kind of weird how that works. You know, we're all lucky, by the way. If you're still alive listening to this, you're fucking lucky. Like, dude, I have a lot of contrast, like you said, through travel. Like in Haiti, we do a lot of stuff. And I remember going to Haiti, dude. Like, if you're homeless in America under a bridge, you're lucky compared to that. And I'm being dead. Like, it was the most gut-wrenching, hardest thing to me now having kids, like watching little kids with big bellies because all they do is eat dirt and, you know, I think sand, they're called salt pies, and they have no food, dude. They have no food. Everyone's an entrepreneur over there because if you don't sell something, you don't make money, you die. Like, you literally die. So, and it's very tough. And that's the problem with America, dude. People are weak. Most people are weak.
It's because I think it comes from the fact that we have food, shelter, and clothing pretty much on demand. And for a lot of people who don't have it, they go, oh, well, at least I know someone who has it who will provide it to me. Yeah. And they don't want to go out and earn it themselves. For you, like we were talking about earlier, like the five pillars of Edwards Consulting are mental health, physical health, community service, philanthropy, spirituality, and relationships. Where did that community service philanthropy come into your life? Because I feel like that's a subject that most people just drop the ball on, or they're like, I'll do it later in life, or I have to... How did you?
Well, they drop in regards to what? I'm sorry, I'm not following you. Like
they won't ever commit to philanthropy. They won't ever commit to helping others. They because they're always in the scarcity mindset of I don't have enough. How can I go help Jimmy? Like,
yeah, I don't believe that. I think they help a lot of people, but the people they help actually shit on them 24/7, and they're not really helping them. So what happens is they get scar tissue with helping their closest people that they love probably the most: their mom, their dad, their brother, their sister, their uncle, their cousins, their best friends. they're like, oh yeah, you know, I gave my buddy $20 and he didn't pay me back. Well, was it a loan or was it a gift? That's a big difference. So what you have to do is you got to realize that that's not on them. That's on you, because maybe the expectation wasn't built correctly. And by the way, you're going to get screwed. The people closest to you typically screw you the most because we allow it, right? So, and until you like build up the muscle of giving, we give our time. By the way, you're giving your time. Most people give their time to people they don't even know or care about. They're more worried about what Kardashian's doing than they're actually, you know, whatever. You know, we talk about this all day long because the sports thing drives me nuts, right? You know, if you work with these young, dude, they know more stats about, you know, Aaron Rodgers. I don't even know if he still plays, but like they know more stats about these football players or hockey players or baseball players than they do their own financial network. Like, you know, how much did you give? How much, like I ask a guy, how much do you make? They don't know. That's weird to me. You know, how much did you give this year? I don't know. Like, but it's like, cool. How many touchdowns did Rodgers throw? And then, you know, they know everything. And I'm like, that's, don't you think it's kind of backwards? So, you know, like for me, my parent, like I said, I grew up an amazing parent. My parents are amazing, hardworking people, right? And we had a house fire when I was 10 years old, and I saw our community come together and give $750. Oh, that was a big deal. My community, that's a big deal. And, you know, they had it at the local store. They had a bucket. And we had to live in a camper for months in the backyard because we didn't have good insurance. My parents, you know, again, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
So I just remember the giving and how it made my mom and dad feel. You know, that was like a big deal. It gave them hope. Right. So if I can give people hope, by the way, giving without intent, like I don't need anything from you if I'm giving to you. I'm giving because I want to. Most people really aren't givers. They're manipulators. Oh, if I give Jordan some money, he's going to give me something back. Right. Okay. I'll do it. And then they try to make it a big deal. I mean, dude, we give millions of dollars away a year through our connections, right? Through our organizations. And I want to give more away. My goal is to give $1 billion plus away in my lifetime. Me and with people that I know, because I do have a ripple effect with our voice. So it's like, you know, it's hard to really calculate it, but you know, giving to me, you know, you're spiritual, right? So the, you know, the tithing thing, most people say they're religious and tithing. If you give, you get 10x and blah, 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 blah. It's like, cool. Let's see how serious you are about this. Go give 100% of your money away. If it's 10x, why wouldn't you do it? Right. Because it's scary. You know, it's scary. I talk the giving muscle. I talk about that a lot in my books because I think most people talk about making money. But if I can teach you how to give money away, you'll learn how to make more money because the give feels so amazing. Making money is just making money. But when you give in a direct correlation and see a change and see people's lives change, dude, it gets you excited to do more of it. You know what I mean?
I think that's the biggest part, the direct correlation. So you see it and you know where it's going. Mm-hmm. Now you have the book, The Magician and the Mule. Tell me Magician a little bit about that.
Mule. Magician versus Mule. Yeah. So I wrote this book, you know, 3 years ago, actually, you know, it's an audio book as well online, but you know, that book, again, we're all built as mules. You know, you go to school, you sit down, shut up, raise your hand. I got to go to the restroom. No, you don't. You went three times already. It's like, okay, I have a weak bladder. Let me go. Then I go. And then I get a detention. You know, like I never understood the system the way it was designed. Right. I was always kind of like a rebel with that. But I always saw my mom and dad working so hard, getting shit on. People are taking advantage of them. My mom worked three jobs. You know, she worked like three jobs with one person doing three jobs right at her company. And one guy quit, and they're going to give it to her. They never, like, mules either die or quit. They're never getting fired. You don't fire a mule. You just mule them out until they just collapse. And so when I was writing that book, I, you know, a lot of like stories inside of that about the mule mentality. You know, once you recognize it and realize it, now what are we going to do about it? Right. Because everyone acts like they're working hard, but they don't have any data to prove it. I always have to say data, not drama. Everyone's got a story. Everyone's got an excuse, whatever. It's like, cool. Show me the data. How many calls did you make? How many deals did you do? Where are we at? Like, I want the data. Right. So Magician versus Mule is about data-driven results. And the magician is not magical. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't do nothing and get rich, right? But a magician, as you know, works really hard to perfect a thing in front of you, right? A trick.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, like, how did you do that? Well, they spent 7 years perfecting that trick.
Yeah. Right.
So now they're on stage in that 1 minute. So that's what my business is like. People are like, dude, how do you do so much and blah, blah, blah. I just know what to do. I know what levers to pull. It's my magical effect, right? I've become a magician. I'm still a mule. We're working hard right now, right?
Yeah.
It's hard work. I'll take it all day long. But like, we'll work an hour, you'll edit it, and we'll go one to many. So what happens is that, say, if this gets downloaded 100,000 times in an hour, 100,000 hours for 1 hour of effort.
Multiplied. Right?
I can't do this with everything, but I'm looking for multiplication problems, not addition problems. Most people are trying to figure out, this is why most people don't grow businesses. This is a quick trick and tip. You're sitting here, like, if you're doing, let's say whatever business, let's say real estate, because it's easy. If you're doing two deals a month right now, trying to figure out how to get to four, I'll give you the answer. Work twice as hard. That's how you do it. There's no other way. But if you're trying, if you're doing two deals a month right now and you're trying to figure out how to get to 20, now you got to change this, right? Yeah. You got to change the brain. You got to change the, how am I going to, I can't work 10X. I'm already busting at the seams, right? But I could probably work twice as hard. You know, I figure out how to get a little more efficient. So this is why people stay stuck, because they haven't built a big enough gap to create a different level of themselves. They say they want it, but they don't really want it until they really, and dude, you have to become a different person. You have to change your friends. You have to change your conversations. You're going to have to probably do some technology stuff. You're probably going to have to hire some people. You know, like, you have to, like, you have to do, you have to become better.
And I love the fact that it's as simple as a question. You know what I mean? It's, what question are we asking ourselves? You're going to ask yourself a question one way or the other. But if you ask yourself, hey, what would 10X look like? Or what would 20 deals a month look like you were saying? And it's like, wow, like, because you sit there and it, like, knocks you back a little bit. You're like, that's intimidating. I don't know how to do that. But dude, then you start to realize, you're, what?
I said, it held me back for years, man. Like, you know, for the first 8 years of my life, dude, I worked really hard and kept doubling and doubling, just working harder, muling it out. And then when I started understanding the magician effect, when I started traveling, I was forced into a magician. I didn't know that's what it's called back then, but I was becoming like, dude, I'm doing more deals and I'm not there. Maybe I'm the problem. Yes. Maybe I'm bottleneck. Dude, I was a psycho. Like, my assistant's like, hey, I need to get post-it notes. And I'm like, where'd you get them from? Oh, you know, whatever, Depot. And I'm like, how much did you pay? And she's like, 58 cents. I'm like, you get down the street for 42 cents. Take it back. Refund. Like, I was a psycho. I felt like I had to touch and control everything. Right. So when I left there, and again, it really forced me to, like, dude, that is not my problem. Like, I'm looking for $1 million problems, not 20 cent problems, you know? But again, this is very important as a magician. You have to understand, you know, you can't treat a 20 cent problem like you do a $100,000 problem.
Yeah. Right?
Most people are trying to get $1 million results, focusing on $100 results. It doesn't work. This is why you're frustrated. This is why you're overwhelmed. This, you know, you got to stop and think, who do I need to become for these results to show up? And it's going to be a journey. It's still a journey for me. I'm still learning.
So what do you think are a few of the results that would have to happen for someone to change where they're at? You know what I mean? Well,
unfortunately, it's typically devastation. That's when people change, when something drastic, i.e. me, my grandmother died.
Yeah.
If my grandmother didn't die, I might not be here in the situation I'm in my life.
Because right?
I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. So when I'm sitting in my office bawling my eyes out, I had a realization is that life is short. Live while you're alive. Right? Everyone's like, dude, I get to live every day. It's a gift, not an obstacle. Most people are treating it like an obstacle. Like, oh, I got to get up. Oh, it's going to be hard. Oh, it's like, dude, thank God it's hard. Thank God I'm awake. Thank God I get a chance. I was doing leg exercise yesterday at the gym, and I'm like, I'm puking, right? Literally. And I'm like, thank God, because I have a buddy who has no legs, like legit. His name's Nick. Great guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, he wishes he could be in this problem right now. Wishes. He would literally give anything to be in the position I'm in right now. So these are the things I thought about. Like, and when I was crying in my office back in 05, I'm like, dude, if I don't change direction, I'm going to miss the most amazing thing in life. And those are time with the family and experiences to live. And my experiences fueled my revenue, because I wanted to do more experiences. To do more experiences, you have to have more revenue. So I had to start getting more creative. I had to start, like, reading different books, right? Learn how to be a better marketer, learn how to be a better leader, learn how to be a better business owner. Like, I had to learn, not like, you know, 50 Shades of Grey. So I never read that stuff, but like, you know, I had to, like, stop talking about it and start implementing and really working through it. You know, that's the only way to get the results. You got to do the work.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it is a great perspective to have, where you realize that your excited for what's going on, and it's something you're motivated about. And it was funny, I was researching you last night, and I had you on like the big TV where sometimes we watch TV, and my fiance, she fell asleep. She's like, what's going on? She goes to sleep because she usually falls asleep anyway. I'm watching it. I go, Madison, it's time to go to bed. And she's like, I'm like, there's a problem though. And she's like, what? And I'm like, I am so pumped up. Like, I don't know if I can go to bed. This guy pumped me up because you're just like, yes, yes, yeah, like more, yes. And it's just like the energy is just infectious, and it's something you want to be around. So my question to you is, how do you create this incredible energy where it's just, you're definitive, you're going in the direction, and you, just the way you speak and you carry yourself is just, I want to give you props for that.
I don't know. I appreciate that. I think it's just daily actions, right? Like I felt, like I said, like, dude, like I felt more than most probably every day, but yeah. Like it doesn't deter me. It motivates me. Probably the biggest thing is though, dude, I'm motivated by death. I'm 45. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. Today might be my day. Hopefully not. But, you know, like I'm very motivated by that time. Like a lot of people like literally are acting like they're going to live forever. You think if I do a deal today and it fails and I die 20 years from now, someone's going to sit in my casket and say, man, he was a real loser. He did a deal and it failed. No, that's never going to happen. But for some reason, we get in our head like it's that's like, dude, I wake up, like my morning routines are very critical for me to success for the day, right? I wake up early, I get my reading in, I get a workout in, I email my wife every morning. That's the goal anyway. I'm not 100% on this stuff, but like I email my wife. It's a good communication tool, by the way, for anybody, you know, because again, crazy entrepreneurs, we think everyone knows what we're up to, even though we don't know what we're up to. But I email my wife.
Elaborate on that a little bit. Yeah. On the email.
So today's email, me and my wife, we just bought 143 acres. We're doing some cool stuff. I'm like, hey, hon, just a heads up. I have no fucking clue what I'm doing. And, you know, I don't know what the goal was here. I just know we've been looking for this piece of property for 5 years and we finally found one. And phase one is we're going to put a cool fence out front. Phase two, no clue. Like, you know, but just so you know, I'm excited. We're blessed. I love you. You know, more sex is better for both of us. You know, these are things I say, like, you know, like, you have to like, cause you got to remember women process stuff differently. Yes. And I my personality is a little like, might be aggressive sounding, you know, my wife's like, why are you so angry? I'm like, I'm not, I'm kind of excited. You know, I'm not angry. You know, I'm just excited to be around like alive. But, you know, so like sometimes she takes it on offense as opposed to, you know, feels my excitement. So every morning I try to send her an email, let her know kind of like how I feel, what's going on. Just kind of give her a briefing of the day. You know, hey, here's what I'm doing. I'll be home around 3. What do you got going on? Hey, last night we went on a date. It was awesome. Thank you for booking that. You know, had a good time. You know, stuff like that, dude. Like that to me is like, it's, I think more guys need to do it.
I love that tip because the best thing is that people don't realize is that it's not even about that one day, but it's like 5 years in the past. It's like, hey, what did we do on December 1st, 2017? And it's like, oh, we just had an incredible trip in Cabo, blah, blah, blah. Like that. I love that. I never even thought of it. That is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we all have arguments with our spouses or girlfriends or boyfriends, right? So, you know, interpret it like, again, it's depending what if you're the A personality, like, you know, typically people you probably were problem solvers. Like when my wife's upset, I want to solve the problem. Women don't like to solve problems. Sometimes they just want to talk about them. I don't have time to talk about it, even though I need to. So I'm getting better on that. I have coaches for that stuff. But, you know, I send emails and I learn, I'm like, Hannah, you know, just so you know, like, I heard you. I acknowledge it. I was a jerk. I get it. But this is who I am. This is who you are. We just got to find the common ground. Like, you know, I don't want to ruin the night over something so petty. Because it's all in the scheme of things. It's always petty stuff. But as you know, petty stuff isn't so petty to them if it's petty to me. So it's like I try to solve. And sometimes
I have the same thing. One of the tips I heard was when you see them, you ask them, do they need help? Do they want to be helped on it? Do they want to be hugged or do they want to be heard? And I feel like that helps. It's hard to implement, but if there's ever an issue with them, they're like, do you want to be hugged? Do you want to be helped or heard? Because like you're saying, I love solving the issues. And I'm like,
I just usually grab her butt, smack her butt. I'm always willing to help, but it depends what the help is.
No, absolutely. No, I completely get it. So Mark, tell us about your magician versus mule, what are you doing with the proceeds of it? Because this is something I think is pretty awesome too.
Yeah, all my books, man, like, you know, I don't make money in books. You know, no one really makes a whole lot of money in books. Even if you sell a million copies, you're not making a lot of money on the grand scheme of things. But 100% of my net profits since day one, my first book was November 21st, 2006. Ever since that day beyond, I've been writing books and giving 100% of the money to charity. 100% of the net profits go to charity. We've done the Caring House Project Foundation, Operation Underground. I mean, we've done many, many charities through that. We've given away a lot of money. So, you know, to me, what I was always thinking about is to the reader, because I buy books every day, right? I'm just, you know, I'm either audio or both. Oftentimes I buy both. I buy the audio and the hard book. So, you know, I like to take notes in the sauna or whatever, right? So I think at the end of the day, it's like, but I wanted the exchange to be congruent so they could like wrap their head, like $15, like, okay, that guy's getting rich. So they might think that, right? Or whatever. I'm not getting rich off 15 bucks because that's not what you get as a writer. But, and then it's like, cool, give the money and give it to charity. Like I call it full circle giving. So it's like, I'm giving you my knowledge. You're giving money to the charity. And what's cool about it, we won't get, like, if my knowledge wasn't there, you wouldn't give the money to the charity. Like, none of this would happen. So, you know, we can't outgive the world as a collective. So how do we give to each other? And that's how it's always started, man. That's how it's always going to be.
I love that because it is full circle giving, and it's a way for people to feel a lot more comfortable when they're purchasing a book because they're also you know, it's being given. I love that.
It's amazing to do.
So Mark, where can people hear more about you? Where can they learn about what you're up to? Where can they get around your energy?
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Every social handle at Mark Evans DM. There's a lot of fakes out there, but I have no underscores, no dashes, no weird spelling. It's at Mark Evans DM. Or you can go to markevansdm.com. You know, we got stuff over there. You know, we have a podcast show as well called The Making of a DM, A Magician vs. Mule. I have a bunch of different books. I have like 12, 13 books out, and more coming. We have about 3 in the pipe right now. So that's where you could go and check me out, man. I appreciate it, Jordan.
Absolutely. We'll throw that all in the show notes. Thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you for reaching the end of the podcast. For that, we'll give you a complimentary coaching session in the link below with Edwards Consulting. Hope to see you there and have a great day and keep clocking in.